Okay, here we are with Ed Collard, my good buddy, president of the board of directors at the Chamber of Commerce. So he is dialed in, and it is April 22nd here for the, actually I missed a day. It would have been five podcasts in a row, but I missed a day over the weekend. But I'm really happy with it. I like the podcast. I know podcasts are probably busy, people are busy and they don't get a chance to, they don't have the time to actually listen to all of them, but if you do, it would be nice if you could leave a comment or a nice rating for us with on iTunes. If you click through the link and left a positive thing, so it'll be picked up in the iTunes
ratings or something.
The
like
ratings
that.
And the, you know, searches will be more prevalent. If not, just listen. Feedback, ways we can improve. Would be helpful. Thank you. But I guess today's big news was Father Green dropped a bomb. I'm going to quote from his today's post. Since 2010, I have been working in parishes seeking to discover the new path that God has planned for me. I have not really had time to step back and process all that has happened, and it has raised some personal issues that I am still trying to work through. I have come to realize that it is not possible for me to deal with these things adequately at the same time as trying to serve the community in active ministry at a parish. I need some time without pastoral duties in order to heal and discern. As a consequence, Cardinal O'Malley has agreed to allow me to take a year off starting in early June. Father Green, how long has he been with us? Has it been a full year?
I believe it's been 2 years.
Two full years?
I think it's been 2 full years, and I'm sure it's rather sad for his parishioners, but I'm sure their prayers are with him and hope that he can, take a year off and heal or find out, what's going on with him.
He has a big following, and there's a couple things about Father Green when I think of Father Green that comes up. Number one, his photography is phenomenal. He's one of our top. He's three or four. We have a lot of good photographers. He's one of our top three or four. And his photos to me have a distinct style. They're very vibrant, and sharp and clear. He's a fantastic photographer. Another thing from very early on, he's a very technologically savvy. He's a gadget geek like I am, and when he's an Apple guy, I can tell he's definitely an Apple guy, but he definitely enjoys tinkering. Like he has his own podcast. He has any podcast. I don't know if it's sermons or something like that.
I believe it's sermons or something like that. I'm glad you mentioned his photography, because like with so many of the great photographers on the blog, I gave them all classes on.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows the blog knows how good I am with that.
Knows how good Ed is. Yeah. But but that's, so for being, you don't normally associate being a priest and being a great photographer and a techno geek, but he's kind of all those things, which
and
is
And he's a
cool.
fantastic artist with his origami.
Oh, the origami.
The stuff that he does with the youngsters over at Art Haven and everything like that. I mean, very multi-talented, sensitive, caring gentleman. I'm glad he came here.
He's touched, I would think, I'm going to ask him this question. He's coming on tomorrow. You come to Gloucester from some middle part of the country or wherever, and you land here, and obviously through the church, you're going to meet a ton of people because everybody wants to know they want to find salvation by befriending the priest, And so he had, obviously you would meet a lot of people that way, but I'm going to say, through Good Morning Gloucester, him... That almost gives you a pass to go into all these different community groups and stuff like that, because he's covering them.
Yes, he is.
As part of his duties for Good Morning Gloucester, and not to say that he wouldn't do this otherwise, but I have to think now he's taking a year off, but he says he wants to stick around Gloucester.
He wants to stay in Gloucester.
So that I would think that he just fell in love with this place, and I think a big part of falling in love with this place is, when you get involved, because it has so much to offer, don't you think?
Well, he dived into the community like I haven't seen too many pastors do ever. And you know, he was obviously well received, and I think part of that is his personality and the fact that he did jump into the community. His association with Good Morning Gloucester, I'm sure, helped that, but you can tell that's his nature anyway.
Yeah. I can't think of any other priest that I know of that had, you know, when you think of most priests, you think of them in their singular role as, you know, if you see them away from the church, it's like your head kind of turns. But with him, it's like he's always out and about in the community.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's just an interesting, you know, maybe new priests, that's what they're doing anyway. But like usually in priests from my childhood, it was all about just being at the parish.
You expected to see him at the parish, at the hospital, and at the funeral home.
Yeah, right?
You know, there you go. And it's sort of like a youngster when he sees she sees his teacher shopping. Oh my God, teacher shops. You know, yeah. It's almost the same type of thing. You go back in the day, like you said, priests weren't out there in the community like he is.
Well, I'm glad that Cardinal O'Malley has you know, it's going to let him take the year off, and hopefully when he, I don't know how it works. If we'll ask him tomorrow, but that, like, if you take a year off, do you get reassigned in Gloucester, or is he going to have to go someplace else? And that's even if he wants to come back to the priesthood. Maybe, who knows? Well, again.
Yeah, you have to have that discussion with him. He's obviously doing some soul searching.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm looking forward to talking to him tomorrow about it. But yeah, so now moving on to our next subject, this is something that you're involved with as the president of the board of directors at the Chamber of Commerce. There's a couple of big events coming up. There's Restaurant Week and the Chamber Golf Tournament, all like within weeks of each other, right?
Right. The Cape Ann Spring Restaurant Week is going to be from April 28th to May 3rd. Definitely get in touch with the Chamber for a complete list of the restaurants that are going to be participating. It's always a well-received event, and people get to actually do some good tastings at, you know, five or six different restaurants that they probably had on their bucket list and they want to check them off. It's a good time to do that.
Usually the way it works in the past, and we're going to find out for sure, but usually in the way it works in the past is they offer a price fixed menu type of deal for like a very reduced price, and it's generally midweek. I don't know if it's a full week. You know, I'll have to do some more research, but again, go to the Chamber's website. They'll have the information for you. And if you're budget conscious, like most of us are nowadays, you can you could eat at some restaurants that you wouldn't normally go. And they usually put out some very interesting pairings. But usually it's the main course, appetizer, main course, and a dessert. We'll see what happens this year. A lot of good restaurants participate in that. And as far as the golf tournament, people still sponsor holes, or is that
they
all?
They can still sponsor holes. They can, of course, sign up. It's at Bass Rocks. It's a fantastic event. I think this is the 26th, 24th, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for quite some time. It's the 24th annual golf tournament. And it's for, you know, a wonderful cause. It helps with the business education collaboratives, with the scholarships that they pass out and this and that. May 6th, it's an excellent event. And once again, get in touch with the Chamber of Commerce, set up a team, and have a good day.
Yeah.
And there are advertising opportunities there as well with, you know, like you said, the different greens and probably the carts and everything else that goes with that.
What do you don't golf?
I do not golf. No. I'll take part in a fishing tournament, but you know, me with a golf club, I don't golf because I've seen the meticulous care that is taken of those greens, and I would just be heartbroken to chop up somebody's work so bad trying to hit that silly little ball.
I know there's guys that absolutely love golf. I mean, there's definitely something there. I am not one of those guys. I think it is because during the time of the year where you would go golfing, I have such a limited amount of time away from the dock that there's like 100,000 things I would rather do than chase a golf ball around a golf course. But
there are people that love it. I have a brother-in-law who is an avid golfer. And last year, I actually went out with him and my son-in-law, and I caddied because, once again, I didn't want to tear up all this nice work that people had done. And it was a beautiful day. It was a nice walk. Scenery was fantastic. But I saw the frustration that was coming over their faces when they're, you know, just not hitting the ball well. I said, I don't need to deal with this.
My theory, I have a theory about golf. My theory is because there's so many guys that do golf, and they get the the hall pass from their wives like every Sunday or Saturday to go golfing, that so that the other wives, you know, are allowing their husbands to go, because so they can't seem like the mean wife that won't let their husband to go. So it gives them like the 3 or 4 hour window to go do something, you know, on the golf course
away from the home.
Away from the home. And my theory is that they don't really like to golf, but this, it's like the only thing that's accepted that they can get out of the house.
Well, it's amazing these days is, I saw it that one time I was on the course, but I know I talked to people. There is a large contingent of female golfers, and they're leaving their husbands off.
There you go. Same thing. It goes both ways.
It really does. And a lot of husband-wife teams that, you know, that's one of those sports. I don't know. It's sort of like rummy. I don't know if you should be playing together.
Or tennis. I remember growing up, mixed doubles. I remember growing up in the Eastern Point tournament. I played in that a couple of times. And there was a couple of the older men with their wives, and they were just yelling at their wives. They were so frustrated with each other, and you could see it come out. I'm like, wow, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, you can see some of those things. You just, I don't think so. not so much.
My sister told me, my sister's got a coyote or a coy wolf, or I don't know what the hell it is, that, you know, ask five different people, they'll tell you it's five different things, but it's been roaming around in her backyard. And I don't know why she hasn't taken a picture for me, but she says every day this coy wolf, a coyote, a wolf, or whatever it is, has been going back and forth. Now, people that know me probably already know this. I am scared to death of wildlife. I am not a man around wildlife. Like, if there was a small mouse underneath my desk, I'd probably be on top of the desk. And I know that, like, I could squash this field mouse with my foot. You know, I know that this field mouse is not going to do it. But for some reason, wildlife, like raccoons, like, you know, if there's a raccoon right on the other side of my door, like, I am scared to death of the raccoon. Like, I don't know what it is. But is there any kind of wildlife that scared, like if that you're afraid of?
I wouldn't say there's anything that I'm afraid of, really. I've gotten snakes out of the house. I live on the edge of the woods, and so I've seen plenty of coyotes. I have not been, you know, confronted by a bear, but I imagine in the right circumstances that could make my make me shiver a little bit.
Yeah.
But I never ran across anything that really scared me. But I do have to mention something as far as your fear of animals, which is well recorded, widely recorded. I thought you manned up very well on the trip to Florida with you taking that little alligator in your hands.
Because you probably weren't wearing your glasses, you didn't see that the mouth was tied up.
I didn't see that the mouth was tied up, and I still can't see you, even with the mouth tied up, picking up a little baby alligator.
The reason I picked up the alligator was because my daughters were with me, and I just put on a brave face, even though it wasn't something I normally would do, because I didn't want them to sense fear. Like, I don't want them to have the same fears that I have.
No, you manned up very well on that one.
Yeah, but I guess the reason I bring this up is because I saw this video on YouTube a couple of days ago, and it was this guy in they were out in the up Maine, I guess, and he was probably about my age, and he had his probably 11-year-old daughter with him, and there was a moose, and the moose was about 10 or 12 yards away from the man and the daughter, and it was just kind of hanging out, and the guy was standing there, he had a stick in his hand, and the daughter, and they were kind of just like, wow, this is really cool. All of a sudden, the moose charges the guy, and the guy immediately, like, kind of put his arms over his head and flexed and was screaming, rah, rah,
yeah,
like, just immediately.
Sure.
And this moose, this huge moose, taller than the guy, that went from a full-on stampede to stopping, like, on a dime, 2 feet away from this guy.
I believe that.
Now, had this been me, I mean, the balls on this guy. Had that been me, I probably would have soiled myself and probably would have curled up fetal and let the moose like run.
Stomp.
I don't know what moose do if they hit you with their head or they bite you or if they stomp you, but whatever it was, I probably wouldn't have been facing the moose. Or, you know what I mean? And God help my daughters if they were behind me.
They would have taken care of it for you.
But I am such a fucking pussy. I'm such a pussy when it comes to animals. Like. Another example is like the fish. Do you ever hear fisher cats in your backyard?
Oh, there's one in our area, yeah.
Is there anything more terrifying than the screams of a fisher cat?
Well, they're a vicious animal, but they also, you know, most of the animals don't want to deal with you.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that.
I've spent enough time in the woods as a youngster and, you know, even growing up in my later years that, not too much is going to scare me, because if you're going to go into an environment like that, you better have done some of your homework and know what you might encounter. Like even traveling down Florida when I was down there, I did a little bit of homework because snakes could really, if I think up here, snakes don't bother me.
Yeah.
I know that there's really no chance of a poisonous snake.
Yeah.
Odds are. Down there, I knew that there were snakes.
Yeah.
And that they could hurt you.
Like copperheads or
something. Oh, they got all kinds of poisonous crap down there. It's not just the people. So, you know, I do my homework. Okay, this is the environment where you might have to watch out for them. And this is a response, like they tell you with the coyotes, make a lot of noise, you know, and bang the pans and all that, and they'll run away. You know, you just yell at them and they basically run away.
See, I know all that. I still am scared. Like, if I hear the night before, like, you know, say 1 o'clock in the morning, I hear the fisher cat, like, off in the distance, making that screeching noise. When I go from my front door to my truck in the morning, it's still dark out. I leave at 4 o'clock in the morning, so it's still dark out. I'm running to my thing, and I can't get the key in to unlock my door to the truck fast enough. Like you know, it's terrible because my wife says it in front of my kids how big of a, you know, pansy I am with the wildlife thing.
But they saw you doing the little gator, so I'm sure you went up a notch or two in that one.
I don't know.
But yeah, all in all, we've got, you know, animals here, and whether it's coyote, coy wolf, what have you, they're here, and there's not much you're gonna do about it except to learn how to coexist.
Have you had any dishes in town in the last week or so? Any restaurants that you said, "Wow, that was really something. I gotta do a shout out to that."
You know, it wasn't really a dish, but I have to give it a shout out. Of course, we don't shout out enough to Mamie's. Their cheesesteak and burgers on Friday, they are a bargain and a deal.
$5 Fridays at Mamie's Kitchen is a no-brainer. Anybody that hears it, $5 Fridays, she always, every Friday, they have $5 Friday, and it's always something really, really good.
Really good. They do a great job. And the other bargain that's going on right now is Tuesdays at the Cape Ann Brewery.
Yeah.
They got the most awesome wings there for 25 cents.
Yeah.
And you get a platter of those things, and you... You know,
I was there. We were there Tuesday, right? And we got the wings, and it was the cheapest bill I ever got at Cape Ann Brewery. If my bill came out to like something like $5, I ended up tipping the girl $5 on top of it because Shannon, our buddy Shannon, she's on your dodgeball squad.
Yes, the winning dodgeball team. Of course, she is a champion.
She's great.
Fantastic. She's an asset to any company she's working with now or will be in the future. Yeah. She's a fantastic person.
Good egg. Yep. We got I'm going to say a couple of the things that I've had in the past week. Obviously, the Tuesdays at Cape Ann Brewing at the Wings is a no-brainer. I also, the burgers at Stone's are really something else. Passports is nominated for Best of the North Shore for best burger, and Passports has a great, great burger as
well.
The whole menu is fantastic. But Stone's burger, I would put there right up with Passports, neck and neck. Another burger in town I would highly recommend is the Minglewood Tavern burgers.
Right,
they have great burgers. I would say those three are the top. And then See, I would say the very best burger in town is probably that Kobe beef burger at Alchemy, but it's like a fortune. It's like $15.
Right.
But, you know, when you put everything into the mix, I would say Passports, Stones, and what was the other one?
Minglewood.
And Minglewood.
Minglewood.
Yeah. Maybe his kitchen burger is nothing to sneeze at either.
Oh, it really isn't. I mean, you know, where else are you going to get, you know, hand-cut fries and a burger?
You know who has a good burger, too? George's. George's has that, like, it's almost like a burger club. They do it. They do something, and I think they do it on Amadama bread. But I don't know if you consider that a classic burger.
George's does everything. Well, the other thing at Stone's, I forgot to mention, is their shepherd's pie when they have it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. People call up to see if they're doing shepherd's pie.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Gary let me taste the tomato soup, and I'm not a tomato soup person, but he kicks it up with, I don't know what he puts in there, but it's like a little bit spicy. It's really good. But, okay, so coming up, big event, big event. May, Cuatro de Mayo.
Oh, yes. I mean.
Cuatro de Mayo.
I can't imagine how Craig's going to outdo last year, but I saw this morning's posting on the blog, and you can just tell. He's just going to kick ass with this one.
Good Morning Gloucester contributor, Craig Kimberly. He moved here a couple years ago, and he is, in my opinion, he is the number one video editor and shooter in town in Gloucester, Massachusetts. No one is as creative and knows how to... What's really good about Craig, like, when he's filming an event, he's so good at editing that he knows the shots that he's taking, his mind is already working ahead. He's filming, and while he's filming, he is placing the parts of the puzzle for how the finished edit is going to be.
Oh,
which
definitely.
Is something I like is like 15 steps ahead of where I am as far as video editing, maybe 100 steps because I just shoot. And I try to leave everything as one long, continuous
one.
Try to do everything
exactly.
Craig will put 50 different edits and combine them in a really interesting way. But not only, I mean, he shot the Bikini Speedo Dodgeball movie. Last year's was like 15 minutes. He promises us 35 minutes this year. Plus, Kim Smith is going to show her footage from that day. Kim is. You know, wildlife, her videography is fantastic as well. But it's going to be on May 4th. And if it's good weather, we're going to do it outdoors at the Farm Barn Grill. If it's crappy, we're going to do it indoors. But it promises to be just a hilarious, hilarious, awesome movie. There's nothing I'm looking forward to more than that.
Does the Farm Bar have a screen for the outdoors, or do we have to build one?
Well, we have the one that we used at at Lap 43.
Yeah.
So we may want to go ahead. We may want to scope it all out.
Yeah.
And see if we can reuse the one we used. If not, you know, we'll figure it out, though.
We'll figure that out, I'm sure. Yeah, but that's going to be fantastic. Fantastic event. Everybody looks forward to it.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to coming up?
I'm looking forward. Well, of course, summer's coming. I'm definitely looking forward to the Horribles Parade and building another float with my part-time wife during that wonderful season, who loves to boss me around.
Sister Felicia.
That is just a fun thing, too, and the group of people that show up. And, you know, she's a tough taskmaster. You know, Barry, I hand it to him, her husband. But I think he's somewhat glad to be sharing the duties of husband during that time, at least during the building of that.
There is... If there's one person that I know, like, and says they're gonna do something, and anyone has any doubts, like, oh no, she's crazy. She's never gonna. There's no way you can do that in that amount of time.
That's one of the things that I love about her, is that we both have the same attitude when it comes to that. It will get done. It can get done. Let's figure it out. And that's just the way we do it. And it's always a blast.
Yeah, she. There's nothing when Felicia puts her mind to it. No matter how crazy the odds are, it seems like you can't doubt her. You can't bet against her. That's I guess the main point. But I'm looking forward. So tomorrow, tune in tomorrow. I'm gonna have Father Green come in, and we're gonna talk about him leaving and leaving the church for a year or so, and what his plans are, or if he's thought it through or what. And I'd like to thank Ed Collard for being here, my guest.
Joey, always a pleasure. I'd be remiss if I didn't say I'm looking forward to the block parties, the Blue Fest, of course, the mug-ups that will be starting pretty soon with EJ. And maybe even this summer I'll get some time to go fishing.
Well, there you go. For Joey Shimataro and Ed Collard, April 22nd in the books. Have a great day, folks.